Okay. You happen to know the date today? 17th?
17th.
April 17th, 1988. And I'm talking to Lester Harper, right?
Right.
Lester Harper. You say you call this Brushy Fork?
Yes.
You were telling me that it was your uncle, Wesley Harper?
Wesley Harper, that's right.
That
Yeah.
made some fiddles, but you have any idea at all how many he made?
I don't know how many he made. Of course, I was just young, very young at that time, small, and I know I've seen him making fiddles down there. And instead of having screw clamps where he put them together, he had a little piece of plywood or something. He'd cut him a C out of, and then put a wedge in it to tighten it on him, on there to hold the back and the sides together and everything. That's the way he fixed them together. But
He more or less carved them out with hand tools. I mean, he didn't
yeah,
have any
he
power
made
tools.
him a gouge out of a file and just carved them out by hand. And he was a pretty good fiddle player. I've seen him a lot of times. Had a big old Edison spring wound graphophone, you know. And you put on a record of somebody playing the fiddle, and he'd get up there and he'd play with them, you know. And my dad used to have a picture of him, George Mullihan, lived up here on the river, giving him a violin that the people over the community had made up an offering and bought him a violin to get him to play over the telephone. Then they'd call him up and he'd play on the telephone for them.
I wonder what, that was when phones just come out?
Well,
Just came
yeah,
in
they
this
had them
country?
old
Yeah, crank.
crank phones, and most of them had their own line, you know. They just run from other people's houses, two houses and so on.
And they made up a collection to buy him a fiddle so he could play over the phone.
Yeah, yeah.
And didn't Wilkie tell me he lived to be pretty old?
He was 99 years old.
And he died in Clarksburg, you say?
No, he died in Florida, and they brought him back to Clarksburg to bury him.
How long ago did he die?
Oh, it seemed to me like last spring or something. Maybe
Was it?
over a year ago, or a little over a year ago or something. He was always a crippled man, though. Ever since I can remember, he had rheumatism and drawed his hip out of place.
Oh, yeah.
And he had one leg shorter than the other, and he was always a cripple. He done good carpenter work, though. Everything he made, he done good woodwork.
And he made a little fiddle for his boy, you say?
Yeah, he made a, I don't know what size fiddle you would call it, or whether he had any pattern. I don't think he had any pattern for it or anything. And you know, they make, now you can get specifications of each size of the fiddle, clear down to about a 32nd size or something, you know. But I don't think he had that, and he made that out of black walnut, the whole thing, the top and the back, sides and the scroll and everything was made out of black walnut. And he made it for his youngest boy when he was just a baby, give it to him for his birthday or his Christmas present or something. And now his boy lives in Orlando, Florida, and he's still got that violin today.
Do you remember any of the music that he played, any tunes he played that were his
Oh,
favorite?
he'd play Soldier Joy and Mississippi Sawyer and Irish Wash Woman and just most anything he'd play. I forgot a lot of them old tunes. I used to try to second a little after him with the guitar, you know, but I forgot a lot of them myself. But.
Was there any other music in your family?
Well, my father played the violin. I've got a brother lives out in Hampton, Virginia. He's a good musician, most anything. Good singer, and he plays a. Well, he told me he played the fiddle more than anything else anymore. He's got a band out there that he plays with, and he plays fiddle about all the time in the band. And he's wrote several songs. He got copyright on. He called me some time ago when I talked to him. I think he said five or six songs he'd sent in got copyrights on, and then there was record companies, two different record companies that had got two or three of his songs and were going to record them. But so far they haven't come out yet. He said he'd let me know when they come out or something. Maybe he could watch for him or something.
Going back to like your parents and your grandparents, did any of them play old time?
Well, dad used to play fiddle some.
How about your grandparents?
I never knew of either one of my grandparents playing any. I had an uncle, a great uncle, John Harper. He played the fiddle some. He lived over at Lake Lane, but I know he used to come over here once in a while and stayed all night with us several times.
Where's Lake Lane?
Yeah, it's up, you know where Salt Lake Bridge is?
Yeah.
You go up around from Salt Lake Bridge about a mile, and then it goes up there.
Oh, yeah. I think I have.
Yeah. Huh.
How about anybody else? You always lived right around this
yeah,
part of the country,
yeah.
Right around Brushy Fork. I've
always lived in this area around here about all my life, with the exception of a few years that I was up in Hancock County.
Anybody else you remember who played music around here years ago, or when you were young, played string music?
Well, we had Mays Brothers, Fudge and Budge, you call them.
Uh-huh. Are they from around here?
Yeah, they, I've seen them over there at Uncle Wes Harper's many times. Uncle Wes taught, I think, Fudge. Called him Fudge, his name was Paul. But I think he taught him the most that he knew about the fiddle, and he played that Orange Blossom Spaceful and a lot of different tunes. He was a pretty good fiddle player. Mm-hmm. They played on the radio. He used to play at Clarksburg and at Fairmont around on the radio. And there was, well, there used to be square dances around. And
out in this country? Where would they have them?
Well, Uncle Wes used to have a lot of them over there at his place.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there was. He had a lot of dances over there. They had dances down there, Charlie Malcolm's, and all around different places. It used to be a lot of people around this community. There, a lot more than what they are now.
Yeah.
Of course, they put that dam in. It took about everybody off the river down there, but. The biggest part of them had already left, moved out, you know, and just sold out for camp or something before they put the dam in.
Did you like have a post office out here in Holly or something? Or?
Yeah, we used to have a post office in Holly. Used to be one over here, what they call KRS, over there right close to where Wilkie Denison lived. KRS post office was over there. And they had the Holly post office down here. They had a two-room schoolhouse down there at Holly. That's where the Gerald R. Freeman campground is down here now. That used to be Holly down there. Used to be a railroad come up through there, and there was a depot down there at Holly.
Budge and Fudge, are they dead now? Or are they still?
Yeah, they're both dead. Yeah.
Did they come back and live here after?
No, they lived around Clarksburg or Fairmont or someplace when they died.
I wonder if they'd be kin to Jack Mays.
Jack Mays.
Jack lives up out of Sutton there. Calls square dances up there all the time.
Well, it might be. I don't know. Bernie Mays was their dad.
Yeah.
And he got killed in a car wreck while he was going to Sutton. And somebody picked him up, and right this side of the Y there was used to be a little garage. I think we dug out in the hill there or something. Somebody backed the car out of there and ran him over the hill. Bernie got his back broke, and he didn't live very long until he died.
How far are we from Webster here, Webster Line?
I'd say it's probably 7-8 miles or something. About 7 miles, probably.
I thought we were maybe closer to it. That out in McQueen, did he come from up in this country?
Yeah.
Seems to me like he told me that.
Yeah. His dad used to live over here. I think the last place his dad lived around here was over here on Carpenter Fork.
Yeah.
But he was from around here in this country. I don't know if you ever knew Locke McQuain and Paul McQuain. They had the store out here at Laurel Fork. Locke McQuain was a brother to Alden's dad.
I know Cy McQuain down the Gasway.
Well, that was Locke McQuain's boy.
Is it?
Cy was, yeah. Hmm. Paul was one of his boys. He's the one that had the store out here, and he died a good bit ago, had cancer. Mm-hmm. Died.
Hmm. Now, about your fiddles, you made your first one, started your first one?
Made it in 1985.
What do you think is the... what got you started making a fiddle? What would you say?
Well, I don't know. I just had the urge for a long time to make one. And so after retired, I just got into it.
You think the urge is because your uncle made them?
Possibly. And I just, I just always liked to fool with wood and work with wood. And I just, had the urge to make a violin. It's something I always wanted to make ever since I was just young, and I never got into it after retired. And so I've made four of them now. And I haven't got that top about cut out there for the next one. Mm-hmm.
So you're going to keep on making
them? Well, I think I've got, seem like every one of the I make, some of the kids will say, now that one's mine. I got a daughter that lives over, my youngest daughter that lives over at Flatwoods, and made that one there. It's in the case there. She seen it, and she said, now that's the one I want. Definitely, that's the one I want. So they all want a fiddle.
How many kids do you have?
I have 9 children. Yeah. 2 girls and 7
boys. You've got some more making to do.
Yeah, I got some more making to do. Well, there's some of them don't care whether they have any or not, but most of them would like to have one of them. And my daughter lives down in Tennessee. She's wanting one. Said she'd like to have one just to keep it there, just to show to people and say, looky there, what my dad made.
Well, that's something to show, I'll say that.
You raise a bunch of kids like that, and of course our family is always pretty close, and you make anything, well, they think it's something powerful, you know.
Well, it is.
But it takes, I'd say it took me twice as long on that first fiddle, or more than what it would to make one now, because I spent a lot of my time just reading the book, you know, to see what it's supposed to do next. Mm-hmm. And because if you cut in the wrong place or do something wrong, you know, you can ruin the whole job. But now, since I've learned more about what to do, well, it wouldn't take me too long to cut one out.
What year were you born?
1919.
Do you ever remember when you were young seeing anybody playing these old dulcimers? Ever see any in the country?
I don't remember seeing any of them when I was young. Mm-hmm.
Not till later years?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. Not till later years. I don't know when they come out with them things, but I don't remember seeing any of them when I was young around in this country around here.
Because mm-hmm. I've seen them in Braxton County that are even made in the last over 100 years ago.
Have you?
So, I mean, there was... But they're just awful curious.
They must
about
not
this
have been
thing.
Very popular back then, or
just
something.
Just a few people, I figure, made them and played them. A few different families around now. Those Blakes over Sarah Singleton.
There used to be a Blake out here, Flatwoods, that made them, played on them things. He was a club-footed guy or something, was crippled somewhere. That
Basil.
Basil Blake. That's a guy.
Now that whole family played them.
Yeah.
A bunch of them, the boys in that family made them. I think there was 15 or 16 kids. Now, they've told me this, and the one brother started making them, and I think he said 1918 or 19, right around then. That's when he first started making them.
I've got plans for one of them things. I don't know. I might try to make one some of these times.
I just wondered if you'd ever...
You know, a fella can order a kit. for a violin or dulcimer or any, most any music instrument. You can order a kit and put it together, but then I just like to make mine from scratch, you know, and that way I do it all.
Yeah.
If you just order the kit and put it together, well, that really ain't making the music instrument.
You're right. Yeah, it's all...
all the work is about done to it, and all you have to do is glue it together and finish it, and that's about it. It's quite an experience, though, when you just carve it all out yourself, you know.
Sure.
Do it all yourself. Well,
sure.
I like it a lot better than what I do to order it already made.
Oh, already. Seems like about every all the fiddle players I ever meet, they all have the urge to make one. Some of them.
Is that right?
Some of them make a stab at it, you know. And I reckon.
Well, back in the 30s, you know, when Wilkie made his, there was several people around here, I know, made violin. Harley Mulhan up there made two.
Now, who was he?
He was George Mulhan's boy. He lived up here on the hill. Harley's dad was a half-brother to my grandma. Mm-hmm. And he'd made a couple violins. He brought them over there. I never did see him. But he brought them down there and had Uncle Wes set the sound post in them. And Uncle Wes said if all of them was made around, that brought them in there, why, he really made a good violin for uh-huh. to be homemade violin at that time. Uh-huh. He had a pretty good fiddle. And Ward King made one at that time, and I don't know. Don't remember who all around here made a violin at that time.
Ward King, I never heard.
You know Milton King, yeah. George M. King?
Yeah.
Was his brother.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Is he still living?
No, he passed away, I don't know just how long ago. Last year sometime, I believe.
Oh, yeah. Wonder what happened to the fiddle, you mean?
I don't know. I don't know what happened to it. Hmm. I never did see it, and I don't know. Never knew what happened to it. But.
Who would you say was the best fiddle player you ever heard from around, I mean, from these parts?
Well, it'd be hard to say, really. I know Uncle Wes won several fiddling contests around, you know, when I had them around the area.
Uh-huh.
They used to have down here at Holly Schoolhouse, seemed like back when I was a kid, about every weekend they'd had some kind of a doings down there at the schoolhouse, you know. A lot of times they'd have a fiddling contest or something, and uh-huh. Uncle Wes would go and play in them. He won several of them fiddling contests. And he was a good fiddler. Of course, at that time, well, I never knew nothing about Melvin Wines and Ernie Carpenter and some of these people, you know, that plays today. But
of course, they were several miles away, too.
Yeah, they wasn't around here at that time. I don't think Ernie Carpenter was up on the river someplace. I think he moved out here when they built the dam. I think they ran him out from up there, and he built. Got this place out here. And
did you ever, now I think I've heard this, that there was a man down in Webster County, McElwain, been dead for years, but I've heard quite a bit about his fiddling. I knew he'd come down the river and play from time to time. Did you ever hear him or hear of him or anything?
I don't just remember of him right now.
Mm-hmm. Uncle Jack, I think they call him. Uncle Jack McElwain.
I just don't remember him.
Mm-hmm.
I might have heard him, you know, when years ago, but it is.
Were you ever at any of the, you said they had some little fiddle contests. Were you ever there for them?
Yeah.
How would they do that? Would they have a judge, one judge?
Yeah, no, they'd have, seemed to me like three judges or something, you know, that could judge it or something.
Anyway,
if it's an odd number, either three or five or something like that, you know, that.
And, how many fiddle players would play at something like that?
Well, I don't know. Sometimes it'd be more than another, maybe three or four or five or something, mm-hmm. you know, and you just...
Mm-hmm. It's more or less an entertainment for the, community. Uh-huh. Now, did the railroad run through there, Holly, then?
Yes.
There was a pretty big They called it Holly Junction or something?
No. Holly Junction was on down the river.
Oh, yeah.
About 5 miles down below Holly to Holly Junction. Down there below Palmer. Palmer was out there at the forks of the river where Holly emptied into Elk. Uh-huh. That was Palmer. Holly Junction was on down the river about a mile.
Huh.
Where the trestle crossed over and went up Elk on the other side.
Uh-huh.
And that was a narrow gauge railroad that run from Holly Junction up through here to Holly and clear up to Webster Springs.
Uh-huh.
And it had three rails on it because that was a narrow gauge and wasn't as wide as a B&O, but sometimes it'd pull a B&O car up there. So they had the third rail on there so they could pull me an old car.
Huh. I guess they tore all those, that road up when they built the dam?
Or? Well, the railroad was gone from here down to Holly Junction long before they ever built the dam.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
Of course, the railroad from Holly Junction on down, where the Corps of Engineers just put it up on higher ground and built that big high trestle across the river down there and tunneled it through the hill over to Baker's Run and built it up on higher ground.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't do away with it. They just got a better railroad out of it.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of people think it's strange, you know, that to have all that stuff in here, and railroad and so on. They can't, people comes into the campground down here, they can't picture all that stuff being in here one time, you know.
Well, how big of a place was Holly?
Well, it was really right there at Holly was just a store, a general purpose store.
Mm-hmm.
And the post office. And of course, Lee Sprigg was the owner there, and then his boy Carr lived in one house, and Lee lived in the house up over the store, and that's really the only families was right there at Holly. There was other families close by down the river and up the river.
Uh-huh.
So
was that like, was that farmable land at that time? And was there some bottoms down through there?
Yeah, uh-huh. It was farmland.
Uh-huh.
Lee Spriggs used to keep a lot of laying chickens down there, laying hens.
Mm-hmm.
And shipped about all of his eggs, I think, to Baltimore.
Is that right? Huh? I guess the lake took a lot of the bottom land from Sutton to all the bottom land the river. Huh?
Yeah, it took all the bottom land. They have, well, the Corps of Engineers owns it all. Just about to the Webster County line.
So you're starting the fiddle, you're starting now, this will be your fifth one?
That's right.
Have you got all your wood for it?
I've got the wood all for it.
Now how about your varnish? Do you buy that and make that, or what do you
No, I buy it from that International Luthers.
And how about the stains?
Stains, I buy it from the same place. It's what stain I've got is you get it in a powder form stuff, dry, and then you dissolve it in water.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, they've got the stain where you can dissolve in the well, or they've got it where they can dissolve it in alcohol, I believe, alcohol or turpentine or something, alcohol, I believe.
When your fiddles go together, are they all put together with the same kind of glue? Or do you have, you use permanent glue in a...
I use that hide glue.
Throughout everything?
All but the neck. Now, when jointing the top and the back together in my joint, I usually use epoxy on that because it's strong, and I usually put it together with epoxy and I glue the neck on with epoxy.
Mm-hmm.
But the rest of it's all that hide glue.
Mm-hmm.
I've got electric glue pot that
keeps it.
Yeah, that I heat it in, boil it in.
Mm-hmm.
And I've got an electric bending iron that I used to bend the sides with.
Is that right?
First one I made, I didn't have that. I just made me a bending iron and heat it with a torch and then bend my wood over it.
Oh, yeah?
And
is that wet, too, when you bend it? Or?
Well, it bends a little better if you soak it a while. Mm-hmm. But you can bend it dry. Mm-hmm. Of course, if it's very curly, you know, curly wood, well, it breaks pretty easy if you try to bend it too dry. If you soak it good, well, then it seems like when you put it on that hot bending iron, then it creates a steam in there, you know, that softens it or something and lets it bend. Mm-hmm.
And then how many coats of finish do you have on there, the most some?
Well, it's hard to say. Some of them I put a lot more on than I do others. I put on varnish, and then I go over it and sand it, you know, with fine sandpaper, and put on another coat. And if you get dust or dirt or anything in it, you know, that you have to take out, well, then you just about have to start over again or something, because it's hard to, if your varnish dries kind of slow, like, it's kind of hard to keep from getting dirt in it or some kind, you know. Mm-hmm. You hang it up to dry and it'll get some dust and stuff in it, and depends on how much sanding you have to do on it, you know, to get it cleaned up and everything. Mm-hmm. Because you can't just put on other varnish over top of the dust or whatever's in it, you know, because it shows right through the varnish. It's a transparent varnish, you know, and everything shows right through it. But the last two or three coats, I always put it on with colorless varnish. And then I aim to get it on, you know, pretty thick so it can have varnish here to work on to smooth it out, finish it up, polish it.
Well, what kind of strings do you put on when you're done?
The most of them black diamond strings. First set I got was super sensitive strings. It was old Fiddler line strings or something ordered. Yeah. I didn't like them too good, but I really like the Black Diamond better than them. Of course, they make some other strings that's better. I guess Black Diamond is almost as cheap a string as you can get. Mm-hmm. That's usually what I put on them, because I don't play them much myself. My brother comes up, he plays them. And
well, that's pretty good.